Morning. Good morning. Our learning this morning, Kav Aleph Sivan, is dedicated to memory the yurt site of my grandfather, Alvin Markowitz, Avram Eliezer ben Alter ben Baruch, sponsored by his children, grandchildren, great-grandchildren, in honor of his 49th yurt site. He was a man that I probably had the greatest impact in my life, and a man that I never met. I'm named after him. My name's Avram Eliezer, and we've had at least 8 children in the family named after him. I could talk about him for a very long time, and people have. That's why he's had the biggest impact on my life. He's my father's Markowitz. So he's my father's father. He passed away at a very young age. And he founded the Youngers of Canarsie back in the day with his brothers. And that love for shul, excitement for community, has been passed down in the generations. So I'd like to, we're going to learn today, so our learning today, my learning, Rabbi Green's learning, should be in Eloi for his neshama, began Eden Shalmala. We're going to continue on with Pirkei Avos. And Pirkei Avos is one word that doesn't come when you learn Pirkei Avos, you don't think of the word controversy. But if there's ever a controversial Mishnah in Pirkei Avos, maybe there are more, Rabbi Green, you'll let me know, it is our Mishnah. It is our Mishnah, it's the fifth Mishnah of Pirkei Avos. We met last week, the Zugos, and we explained that Jewish history changed as we know it, and there wasn't one figure, one leader. There was Shimon HaTzadik, there was Antigonus, and now it went to the Zugos, to the pairs, and we met last week Yossi ben Yoezer and Yossi ben Yochanan. Yossi ben Yoezer, Ish Sreda. Sreda is a very small city in Eretz Yisrael. And Yossi ben Yochanan, Ish Yerushalayim, they were the Zugos. So we learned about Yossi ben Yoezer, Ish Sreda last week. This week, Yossi ben Yochanan, Ish Yerushalayim. So what does he say? Let's look on inside. He says three things. Number one, Yi beisecha pasuach lervacha. Number one, our houses should be opened up wide. Number two, Viu aniyim b'nei beisecha. Right, nothing controversial yet. And you should have, aniyim should be part of your home. The impoverished, the poor, the needy, the destitute should be members of one's household. And number three, v'altar besicha im ha'isha, one should not talk too much to women. Ishto amru, no cynical comments now, b'ishto amru, the Mishnah is now referring to one's wife. Kavachomer be'eshes chaveru, all the more so to one's friend's wife. Mikan amru kol zman she'adam mar besicha im ha'isha. We learn from here that as the more that one speaks to one's spouse, to women, gorim ra aliatzmo, causes evil to oneself. Uvoto midivrei Torah, it caused them to lose out on divrei Torah. Visofo yoresh gehenem, and they end up somewhere where they don't want to be.
You don't now, get into trouble for that.
This is not me talking. This is the Mishnah. This is the Mishnah of every lap. So now what's, right? A, what's going on? The third one, obviously, is the controversial part of this Mishnah. Right? Tread very carefully. Okay? And what's the context of this part of the Mishnah? Like, what's going on here? Like, what does that mean? It's like, shocking. Like, whoa. We know that Avram and Sarah, they worked very well together. Okay, you could talk about Yitzchak and Rivka, different. But they, what does that mean? Al tar besicha meisha. But let's begin with the beginning. Yi pesecha pasuach larvacha, and viu aniyim b'nei beisecha. So Rabbeinu Yonah points out over here that your house should be open, like whom? Our house should be open. The model of a Jewish home should be like Avram Avinu. It should be like Avram Avinu. And in fact, the Rambam quotes this Mishnah in Pirkei Avos in his Halacha Sefer. The Rambam writes in Source 3, Sivu Chachamim, Shinu Bei Beiso, Shel Adam Aniyim. The Chachamim said, commanded us, that our homes should be open to Aniyim V'yisomim, Bimkom Ha'avadim. Now what does he say like this? He says, many people, what do? They hire help for their homes. So who should be in your home? What type of people should you hire in your home? He says, you can knock out two birds with one stone. You can do two mitzvahs at once. Right? you need help with the children and with the laundry and with the whatever. Who should you ask? Try to seek out the right people for that job. Who are you going to find? Find people that need it, right? And bring them into your home. And again, now you're not only fulfilling the mitzvah of opening up your home, but you're also fulfilling the mitzvah of tzedakah.
Depends
the
how Rama, you treat them as well.
Right?
Depends how you're treating
and
them.
Obviously, right, goes that saying, they have to treat them the right way. Mutav lo lishtamish be'elu, v'yehenu b'nei Avram Yitzhak v'yakov minachasav, v'lo yehenu b'hem zerecham. It's better, he says, to hire, right, workers that need it. He says Jewish workers here, right, people that need the money, more importantly. This is not only referring to one's home, but somebody owns a pizza store. Somebody has a business, right? We should look out and try to give. I think there's more over there. Mendy has like an extra copy or two over there.
Are you really getting mitzvahs for that?
What?
Is it really wonderful?
That's Rav Zusha of Anapoli and Rav Elimelech Milozhinsk. So before they were like these great Hasidish Rebbes, they followed in the ways of the Baal Shem Tov. The Baal Shem Tov used to appear as a beggar. And would travel from town to town, and that would teach him anivas. He would learn from other people and reveal himself at the right time to individuals. So they followed him this way, and they would travel from town to town. They once got to a certain town. They knocked on the biggest house in town, and they said, "Could we sleep in your home?" And the guy looked at them, and he said, "They probably haven't showered in a few weeks. I'm not, or for a few days, whatever, maybe from last Shabbos, and I'm not putting them on my mattress, on my sheets. Like, sorry, go down the block," and he pointed to the shack down the block. "That guy will host you." Right? So, okay, they had a great Shabbos by that guy, very holy Jew, wonderful Shabbos, and they left town. 10, 15 years later, there are these, like, you know, big giants, Hasidish Rebbes. They come back to town, and now it's just not, they come back to town, it's in the bulletin. It's their signs all throughout town. You know, come meet Rav Zusha and Rav Meilach. And they come, Michael's Rav Meilach also, right? Yeah, so they come back to town, and who's greeting them at the front of the city? It's this wealthy individual with the big house. He says, "Oh, Shalom Aleichem, I've been appointed by the town council to host you." So they say, "You don't want to host us." "No, what do you mean? What do you mean you don't want to host us?" "Of course I want to host you. I had to beg and pull strings to and commit X amount of money to the shul. Of course I want to host you. You don't want to host us." "What do you mean you don't host us?" "You want to host our titles. Because we were here 10 years ago, and we came as regular individuals to the town. You said absolutely not. Now you don't want to host us. You don't follow V'yaniyam b'nei ve'secha. That's not what type of person you are. You're not following the ways of Avram Avinu. Avram Avinu versus Lot, right? What did Avram Avinu do? Avram Avinu, it was three people. Stam, Jews. Or some people, travelers in the desert. Lot was the what does the Torah say? He saw three
angels.
Anashim, Amalachim. He saw angels. That's why he was wanted to host them. Versus Avram. Lot maybe would not have stood up and opened up his home. Versus Avram Avinu. That's why the Torah is so precise. So if you're not following in their ways, you want to host our title, not necessarily the individuals themselves. More, the Magen Avos over here points out
that
right before
they went
down the block. They went down the block. Okay? The Magen Avos points out over here that Yossi ben Yoezer in the previous Mishnah was so focused on Talmud Torah and opening up your home for learning Torah that it could be forgotten that you should open up your home for Chesed. Having a home for Torah and not having a home for Chesed is half a home. That's not full. Torah without Chesed and Chesed without Torah is not good. A Jew needs a full, healthy balance, a full diet of Torah, Tefillah, and Chesed. So that's why Yossi ben Yochanan tempers Yossi ben Yoezer in the previous Mishnah. Irvin Bunin, I think he preferred to be called Mister, in his Parish Pirkei Avos points out that Yossi ben Yochanan came from Yerushalayim, and Yossi ben Yoezer came from Tzreda. Tzreda is a very small city, and Yerushalayim is a very big city. The Mishnah says later on in Pirkei Avos that nobody ever complained that there was not enough space in Yerushalayim. Lo martzali b'makom, right? Everyone had space to stay in Yerushalayim. And it could be sometimes in a smaller city, it's problematic. So both rabbis are focusing on opening up your homes because this should be a focus over here. Rabbi Tursky, Abraham J. Tursky, points out on this Mishnah that what does it mean, have aniyim in your home? It should be they should feel comfortable in your home. Guests in your home should never feel that they are a burden to you. We should always try to feel when we have people in our home that it's our, we're just so happy to have them. They're never a burden. Just like when if our children say, hey, dad, mom, I'm in college, I need a break for my kids. Can I stop by your house for a few minutes? You don't they don't feel like you're a burden to them. You just come in and you're popping in. Oh, there's food in the fridge. Don't worry about it. So the same is true with our guests that we have in our home. We should try to make it as much as possible that they're not a burden to us. We feel comfortable. We're happy. And this is something that as a community, we should try to promote as much as possible. And now that leads us to the last part of the Mishnah. Last part of the Mishnah says, don't talk too much to one's spouse. Al tar besicha ima isha, women, well, the more so, right, with one's wife. Now, what does that mean? So I will tell you three interpretations. My daughters, I have five of them. They're here. Yes, okay, you heard that? The Mishnah says, al tar besicha ima isha. Okay, don't talk too much to women. What does that mean? Okay, so three interpretations over here. The first one comes from Rabbeinu Yonah. I saw this yesterday. I was in a Eichler's in Brooklyn and perusing through the Sfarim section. So I saw Rav Avadya Yosef in his Peirush in Pirkei Avos called Anaf Eitz Yosef quotes this Rabbeinu Yonah. And he goes, we're not going to focus on this too much. Rabbeinu Yonah points out that it's halachic in nature. That's referring to a time when a husband and wife cannot be together. Kasher ishto nida. During that time, one has to be careful with frivolous conversations that one has with one's spouse, both vice versa, because that may lead to, and that leads to a lot of halachos dealing with the world of parish mishpacha, and more specifically, harchakos. That is how Rabbeinu Yonah understands and qualifies this Mishnah.
So Rabbeinu Yonah said, when a woman is at the time of the month, you shouldn't even talk to her?
No. Don't, it shouldn't be frivolous, al-tarbeh, frivolous conversations.
Frivolous,
because that may lead to something else. Yeah. The Avos de Rabbi Nasa makes a point here, and I want to focus on this. A few weeks ago, somebody called me up, and they said they were having a very hard time at work with their boss and several colleagues, and they wanted to know if it was permitted to share this information with their spouse. Is it permitted to speak Lashon Hara with one's spouse, right? Parsha Shlach is a parsha of Lashon Hara, right? Lashon Hara against Eretz Yisrael. Are we allowed to speak Lashon Hara to one's spouse? Not about one's spouse, right? But to one's spouse. So this whole conversation comes up through our Mishnah. The Avos de Rabbi Nasan points out over here, what does it mean, Al tar besicha im isha? Bisman she adam bala beis hamedrash. V'lo hayu nogim b'kavod. You come home, your wife says to you, right? And it could, again, it's vice versa. How was shul today? And you say, oh, shul? There was somebody sitting in my, that guy, he was sitting in my seat. Oh my gosh. I can't believe it. Right, and then I thought they knew that I always get shlishi this week, and they didn't give it to me? He has it out for me. He has it out for me, right? V'lo hayu nogim pavod. O she'ira im chavero. Or you have a spat. Somebody says something that you perceive is incorrect, is not nice, and you see somebody do something to somebody else, and you go home. Al yelach v'yomar lishto. Don't go home and say to one spouse, kach v'kach yirarti im chaveri. This is what happened with these two people. Kach v'kach amar li. V'kach v'kach amar. And repeat the entire conversation. Right, one has to be very, very careful. He says, "Wait, one second. So, why that degrades you and that degrades her and that degrades your friend? Right, that is considered lashon hara. Right, so this now brings out that conversation. Is this right? And Jules, you're asking a good question. Who do you talk to? Right, sometimes we need to unload. So. How do you do that? Talking to a therapist. Is that considered Lashon Hara? Right? Yeah.
So a wife, or even a husband, who work in two ways, you can come home and say exactly what you said. The spouse would say, you're right 100%, that person is a place mark, you should never have done it. Or, if the person is a good person, will talk you down off the cliff and make you see it, that maybe that you're just...
Good. And very often, that's the role.
And that's what you hope that the person is going to do. So I think it's a good thing to share things with the spouse. Hopefully that person's going to take you, pull you back in again.
Yeah.
You don't want to hold it in either.
What do you do with the person? Come up these guys.
Good. So good. So obviously I hit a nerve over here. So good. So so the Chafetz Chaim in one place writes, and again they put a Chafetz Chaim on Pirkei Avos. Basically, they took all the other Chafetz Chaim's writings and they put it into Pirkei Avos. And he writes here that there is no difference between telling Lashon Hara to person X, person Y, or my spouse. Okay? Whoa. Right? That's a big thing. That's a big statement. Right? So what does that mean? So I saw an article by Rabbi Jachter. Rabbi Jachter is a Rav in TBC and Rav in Tinek and the posig on our Erev for many. It has been fixed our Erev. What? Okay. So he's... Yeah, he's great. He's great. So he wrote an article about this and... He quotes a pasuk, which the Chafetz Chaim quotes also elsewhere in his parish. It's a great pasuk because of the two interpretations the Gemara gives. The pasuk in Mishlei. The pasuk in Mishlei says, "Daiga belev ish yisichenu." When there's a worry that somebody has in their heart, yisichenu. What does yisichenu mean? One should sicha. One should
talk it out.
So if one has a worry in their heart, one should talk it out. The Gemara has two interpretations of that pasuk, and you tell me which gender each interpretation is about, okay? Daiga ba'eish yisichenu. Two interpretations, I believe it's Rabbi Ami and Rabbi Asi. One is, yisichenu, who are you talking to? To yourself. In your head. The other interpretation is, yisichenu le'acherim. Yisichenu le'atzmo, or yisichenu le'acherim. Who are you, right? Somebody's bothering you, you just work it out in your head. That's usually the males in the room. And you see chenu liatzmo generally, that's more the female gender, that's what they do. Women need to talk it out. You talk it out. One piece of advice Rabbi Neuberger always tells Chasanim, he shared this with me, he goes, you're gonna get married and your wife is gonna share things with her mother. Okay? And you're going to say, I would never share that with my father, right? And wives with their mothers have a very special relationship, a very unique relationship, and they share, and he says, don't say a word. Don't say a word. Foster that relationship.
One of the things
you can vouch for that, right? You can vouch for that, right?
One of the things you want in life, in your home,
Show them values.
If you keep things from your wife, it's not going
good.
To be that way.
Good. I'm not saying we should. So the Chafetz Chaim, look at the bold over here. The Chafetz Chaim, based on the second opinion, it considers the permissibility of speaking evil of others, speaking Lashon Hara, in the limited situation of seeking relief from anxiety. So again, what are the parameters of when this would be permitted? Is it flippantly, randomly, arbitrarily, just I could say whatever I want to my spouse? Or is there... Again, halachos, again, they might be very common, but that permit this. So the Chafetz Chaim writes that if it is a relief from anxiety, daiga b'leiv ish yisichenu, then it is permitted. For Fershel Schachter...
You don't have to mention names.
Sometimes you don't have to mention names, right. On this basis, permits one who is suffering psychological anguish to speak freely to a therapist in order to bring peace to his soul, right? Now continue on. Turn to the next page. An example of this is brought up in an article in Tchumim. Tchumim is an amazing Torah journal out of Eretz Yisrael. I believe it's from Eretz Chemdat, the Torah Institute over there. From Yuval Shurlau, who is a leader in the modern Zionist community in Eretz Yisrael. And someone asked him the following question, that very often two women get together and they meet every few weeks for a cup of coffee and they share and unload what's going on in their lives. And the other one sits and listens, right, very similar to a therapist, and gives him advice. And the advice is very, very sound and very helpful. And they have this reciprocal relationship where they help each other. This woman wrote a letter to Rav Shurlau saying, "I feel very guilty. Is this Lashon Hara? Is this inappropriate?" So Rav Shurlau writes that it is a great mitzvah to provide an open ear to someone in need. But the following 4 points need to be observed. Okay? The intention must be for the mitzvah and not for the gossip. Right? To go home and say, "Can you believe what that person was wearing?" That's gossip. That's gossip.
Men don't do that.
Right? The intention must be for the mitzvah, number one. Number two, the conversation should not deviate into areas where are not necessary and relevant to the issues at hand. David, that's what you're saying. Sometimes it's not relevant to say the perpetrator, who the person was. Number three, discretion must be paramount, as one cannot share these conversations with others. And obviously that's a given when one is discussing with their spouse. Finally, one should recall that both halacha and experience teach that there are always two sides to a story, and there are other perspectives to the situation described. And Mendy, that's what you were saying before, that's very often what one spouse does. You share with them, and they say, "Hey, you know what? Maybe there's a different way to look at this. Maybe something else was going on, right? Maybe it's, you know, we don't always have to sit in our makom kavua. It's very nice to open up, and there's a guest in shul. Give them your seat. Kol hakavod." A fifth condition may be added, that one limit the discussion to one close friend with whom one can be confident to receive a satisfactory response and not repeat such conversations with others. Rabbi Jachter added a fifth one, which is, if it's an issue, maybe you don't need to share with 100 people, maybe just with one, sometimes with two, might be enough. So again, you could read the rest over here. But there, obviously, this goes all the more so for one's spouse. Yes?
I think everybody has to find whether it's their spouse or a close friend. Someone, no matter what you tell them, will always tell you the other side.
Right.
No matter how bad it is, that someone will tell you to walk you down with the, what do you call it?
The ledge.
The ledge.
Yeah.
Don't look at it like that.
Yeah.
If you know your spouse is going to do that, you know your spouse.
Yeah. And you could 100%. Everybody needs, sometimes not just one person. Sometimes Rav Govicht used to tell me all the time, Rav Meir Govicht. Yaakov and I were in Camp Masor together with Rav Govicht for many years. So he would say that you can have multiple Rebbeim. You have a Rebbe, not just in different areas of halacha, but sometimes like it's a marriage issue, so you go to this Rebbe. If it's a friend issue, a career advice, you go to different people sometimes who are different components of one's life. Through life experience, you find that they're wise in one area, and this friend is wiser in a different area. But we all need that. Obviously, right, ishto ki gufo, if we can have that relationship with one spouse, that's amazing. Yes?
I thought you'd not want to do that. In other words, you can't pick, go to one rabbi and he's machme, and the other rabbi goes machme.
Good. I am teasing right now because the next Mishnah is Aseh Lecha Rav Uknei Lecha Chaver. So let's hold that off till next week. We'll talk about Aseh Lecha Rav. What does that mean to have one Rebbe? Can you have multiple Rebbe? Can you pick and choose? Can you just Google it?
As long as you don't go to more than one place in Shiloh.
Yeah, so that's
shopping around for
Al Tar Besicha Misha. We had already two interpretations. One contextualized it to the world of Ishto Nida. The next one was, it's about Lashon Hara. And there's a third interpretation. Again, you could read here. I left out where Voldenberg, Tzitz Eliezer, has a fascinating tshuva here, which Rabbi Jachter then extrapolates even further to marriage. And again, a husband and wife constitute an organic unit in the deepest sense of the phrase. Therefore, they talk about every topic in the world, including matters that a wife speaks only with her husband. However, one must emphasize that this principle applies exclusively to a husband and wife and cannot be extended to the connection between parents and children. Meaning one has to be careful about what they share with their wife is one thing. I'm speaking again from the male perspective, but to one's husband as well, right? Versus speaking, you know, to friends, speaking to parents, children, etc. One has to be careful who they share with and who they don't share with. This shouldn't be just a heter across the board. Once we be careful about it. Again, we're dealing with the prohibition of Lashon Hara. But there's a third interpretation of this Mishnah, which I'd like to share with you, and that is from Rav Shimon Farel Hirsch. Rav Shimon Farel Hirsch, on his Parish in Pirkei Avos, says, what does the word sicha mean? Al tar besicha im aisha. He says here, and I read, we are not told tarbed varim or al tidaver harbe. It doesn't say don't speak a lot, al tidaver harbe. It says don't say sicha with one's wife. As a matter of fact, the sayings of the sages are replete with maxims stressing the high esteem in which womanhood should be held. The respect and honor due one's wife, and particularly the great importance that a husband should attach to the views, opinions, and counsel of his wife. Right? All throughout Chazal, we see this. Look at Rav Meir and Buria. Throughout the Torah, we see so often, right? It's one's wife that is able to give such perspective one's life and completely change, right? But we have a Rashi coming up in the beginning of Parshas Korach with On, who's, right, On Ben Pelet, that his wife said, hey, don't mess around with this guy Korach, come back here, right? Especially in this context where we have just read about the virtues of helpfulness, charity, kindness, and hospitality, which emanate from the home and are greatly dependent upon the work and cooperation of one's wife. The statement immediately following certainly should not be construed in a way derogatory to her. Right? In the context of your home should be open, right? You should have aniyim in your home, right? Who's bearing the brunt of that? Who's bearing the responsibility for that? Right? The wife. So now we're saying al tar besicha im isha? Rav Hirsch says it's so strange, right? Chas v'shalom, we should be viewing this in a derogatory manner. In fact, this very statement may well be found in a genuine appreciation of the vital role played by both husband and wife in the discharge of the task to be fulfilled by the home. So he says, what does sicha mean? Altar b'sicha im ha'isha. Sicha does not mean serious conversation, but it means idle talk and gossip. A man who truly respects his wife will have more to offer her than just trivial talk and idle chatter for her amusement. He will want to discuss with her the serious concerns of life and will derive enjoyment from the resulting exchange of views and counsel. Moreover, engaging in trifling talk with other women and other men's wives may imperil moral purity. Al tar besicha im aisha, one should have profound, real conversations with one's wife. Rabbi Kiva Eger, one of the Gedolim from 150 years ago, writes that as much Torah as I know, my all of my emunah and bitachon that I received in my life was from late night conversations that I had with my wife.
He was from Germany, wasn't he?
It's Chassan Sofer's daughter. Yeah. Yes.
That's it.
Right?
Yeah.
That's it.
He wasn't from there.
Last week we had some performers, William and Moshe. What was she saying? She was saying something very,
that
very...
That he's not spending time? Yeah.
Okay.
Right.
We're talking about the affair that he wasn't having any sex with his.
Yeah.
Why sicha after
that? Miyut sicha, sichas yaladim, throughout, I think, Chazal, not in the Torah, but I think if you look in Chazal, the word sicha refers to idle talk. Maybe that was... Okay, you're right. It's a good kasha on the... Maybe he didn't view them as such on a high level. You're right. It's a good point. But miyut sicha, the way... I think there's other proofs for this. That sicha refers to idol talk. It refers to the great linguist. What? No, I don't know. I don't know.
Different take.
Right. Different take on it. I'll call Rabbi Green. But I think that's a very important point over here. Right? And I think the yesod is, just to go back to my grandfather for one moment, is to take advantage of those relationships that one has. Okay, it could be based on time. I don't know. Irving Bunim has the same shot. I think others said it earlier in different contexts. We can. This is just clearer, and if you can have a beautiful piece of verse to start your morning, it's a great way to start your day. Yeah, and I think that's what it's about. It's about having keeping the relationships that you have and making them meaningful. Not to have them idle in that way of the contact, the content, the context, but who we have in our life right now, the people that are that we can engage with on a daily basis, to make that part of our life and those relationships that we have very, very meaningful. Have a great day.
Can we hold on to you?